Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to HealthyLife.net's Visionary Celebrity Series, a place where you get to call in and talk live to a world-renowned expert. Today's show is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, a world-renowned expert on mind-body medicine and patient empowerment. So let's welcome Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Hello, everybody. Of course, it can't be everybody, but everybody who's there. Ah, life. Anyway, what I was wondering what to talk about, you know, something that's interesting. And I'm having, and I'm not too thrilled, surgery next week to try to help regulate my heart rate, which, since my wife died 6 years ago, has been crazy. And, you know, I didn't look forward to it at all. But I, you know, accepted it. Things happen. And so anyway, it's all scheduled, and I was feeling kind of down until suddenly this morning I realize it's July 11th when you're having your surgery. And guess what? I'm always talking about how my wife is watching over me since she died. And guess what? Our wedding anniversary is July 11th. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, I don't have to worry. I know I'll be okay, because my wife's taking care of me again, and fits in July 11th. And I mean it. I just lifted everything off my back, because I've said this on the show here about the numbers, that my wife was born on 9/9, and the first time I went to the emergency room after she died to get, you know, worked up and help, they yelled as soon as I walked in the emergency room, put him in room 9, and then they kept me a day because they were waiting for my room, which was 819, and my wristband, everything that identifies me as a patient in Yale New Haven Hospital, all the numbers, you know, it's like 36, 99, everything adds up to 9. On my wristband. When I saw that, I said, oh, I'll be fine. I don't have to worry. And everybody thought I was not showing it to them. I mean, I literally was going around the hospital pointing this out to everybody. And then I wore it, the wristband. I never took it off for a few years. Oh, yeah, I'm looking down now at my desk. Here it is, still sitting in front of me. My wristband, 3893966. That's me. The 8 means a new beginning, and the other numbers are, you know, 36 and 99, and everything adds up to 9. It's just amazing. So I got an angel, and she's taking good care of me. I'd still rather be home than in the hospital, but we'll see what transpires. Because it's, you know, this is something that I was going to say to all of you. Think about it. How long do you want to live? What do you want to do? When will you decide it's time to go, or the end, or it's okay? You know, not be mad and grouchy and tragically depressed and everything. But when will you have a fulfilled life? And that's really what you need to think about. I mean, I know I've done a lot with my life, and I'm proud of myself. I wasn't afraid of speaking up. You know, if I saw the truth, I spoke it, whether people believed it and called me controversial or not. That was a nice way of saying they thought I was nuts. It's live your life, be unique. And I can say, I won't marry. Somebody took over saying that. I won't mind dying. I'm going home, back with my folks, my wife, all of them. They all hang around, believe me. You know, I know that. So I can say it to you, and if you want to think I'm crazy, that's okay. I don't mind what people think of me. More important to me what I think of myself. You know, trying to do things, accomplish things, and teach people about life. What are we here for? You know, that's a good question. I haven't thought about asking that. But why are we here? Why do we need people? The earth would be a lovely, pleasant place. We just had some animals running around and having a nice day, eating what's naturally here. Why do we even have weather? But I think weather's an example of life. Things happen. Things change. If things didn't change, we'd all go nuts. You know, another day. But if every day were the same weather, same people, same job, you know, you'd get to a point where you have to stir things up and make a difference. So think about it. Make a difference. But figure out what you want that difference to be. What would I like? Basically, peace of mind. And I think when I help other people, that's one of the times I have peace of mind, that I've done something meaningful. Because every month we come back to talk. And I hope I'm helping some of you. You ought to call in your questions. Let people know. Let me know what you'd like me to talk about or like me to refer to or whatever. Whether I helped you or screwed you up or anything else to teach me what to do. Yeah, I got a kick out of one of our kids the other day. I'm 91. Some of you have heard me say that. And we're talking about me and my health, and he said, "But you don't look 91." And that's a compliment I appreciate. And I agree. You know, I'm not all wrinkled up or looking awful. The one thing I do notice is I'm tired compared to the good old days when I had lots of energy. You got up in the morning, you ran a few miles, and then came home and got dressed and went to the hospital. Oh, boy. I used to meet people in the dark when I was out jogging. I never knew who they were until, you know, if I'd meet them in a shopping market or something, and I'd hear the voice, I'd say, "Oh, I know your voice." And then we'd get to know each other, because in the dark you couldn't tell what they looked like. But my last marathon was age 70. I often talk about that. That was to celebrate that birthday. And our son Jonathan went with me. We went up to Cape Cod so I wouldn't have to run any mountains or bridges or things like that, knock myself out. And we ran there that day. And So it's funny because he ran ahead of me and told people as he ran what I looked like, you know, with my shaved head and what I was wearing. And so all these people started yelling at me, and I didn't realize what was happening. You know, they're telling me, speed up, Bernie, come on, Bernie. And I'm not wearing my name or anything. I thought, what's going on? And then I realized, oh, it's got to be Jonathan. He's running ahead and knows if he gets them to stir me up, I'll keep going. And I did, and I finished. I can't remember, you know, how many hours after the winner I did, I got there. But finishing. And that's something to think about. Finishing life. What would get you to say, I've finished what I'm here to accomplish? Yeah. And my feeling would be, this always was my father's line, that we're here to help other people. How you do it is up to you. So find a way to help, and then go ahead and do it. And I realize for me, it's been a couple of things. One is as a surgeon, because I loved using my hands to do things. Then I started painting, and then we started support groups, and it was all not things I planned, but things that happened. And to sit in a room full of people with cancer and encourage them and inspire them and have them inspire me too. Some of them were such a gift. No matter what they were going through, when they walked into the room, it lit up. And I know that that changes us. That's why the 7-Eleven, I feel so much better about going through things now. Because, I was seriously thinking, and that we all have to. We make our own decisions. Doctor says you need surgery. No, I'll decide if I need surgery, not you. You can offer it to me as an option, tell me how it can help me, but I decide. I have to give you permission. So don't forget that your life is yours. If people want you to do things, they want your help, decide. Say yes or no. Because if it feels good doing it, then you're benefiting from it. Your immune function and everything else goes up, and your body feels good. Because that's the thing that really impressed me with all the patients as well as my life. You know, I find my wife, she had died in her sleep, so when I took her hand to wake her up, I knew she was dead, it was so cold. And wham, I had a pain in my chest right at that instant. That was like a knife. And I don't mean to keep repeating it all the time, but it just shows you what makes that feel in you, see? And it's your body, your chemistry. So it could be when you win the lottery, it's all the pains go away. Oh, boy, now I can take care of myself. I can get a new house, a new car, you know, whatever. Get somebody to work at home and take care of me and make meals, and, you know, I'll be in a mansion now. All those things can happen. But what happens because of them is up to you. Winning the lottery, I remember this was somebody did a survey. He looked up every person who had won the lottery for a number of years. And he said all but one complained winning the lottery was one of the worst things that ever happened to them. Part of it was they didn't know what to do with themselves now that they won the lottery. Everybody came after them and wanted them to do something for them, you know, give them money, buy them something, fix something, do. And it was driving him crazy. And it wasn't that he didn't want to help everybody, but just it was everybody coming after him, you know, to do all this. And it exhausted him trying to, you know, make judgments, do what was appropriate and everything else. Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do would be just to start a charity in some other name and let people get in touch with the charity and, you know, apply for help. But when they do it to you individually, it does drive you nuts. You know, what you need, what they want. So don't be afraid to say yes or no. It's respond from a feeling. What's inside of you? So if somebody asks for help, what do? And what kind of help they need? As I said, my dad was always saying, people have many needs, so we're all here to help each other. So look out, see what people need, and then do what you'd like to do for them. And then there are people who don't have needs and try to rob you of what you have. And really to convince you, oh, I need this, I need that. They're lying to you. So be careful, too. It's okay to say no when you're suspicious of people or ask them for some proof about what you're hearing from them. You have a right to say yes or no. Now, always keep saying I love you, because that confuses lots of people. I love you. And then they don't know what to do with you. Because they're angry, they're mad, they're yelling, and then you say, I love you. Let them think about it and what it means. What does it really mean to love somebody? It's a good question. But I'd say it has no expectations. It's giving without expecting, you know, compensation, that you're not going to be paid for your love. And it helps. The one thing that I really realized, when you give somebody love, two people are helped, you and the person you're loving. And that feels so nice. Because then it's not about, did you win the lottery? It's what you did. You know, let's put it this way. If I bought a lottery ticket for somebody else and they won, am I going to be happy? You know, let's say I bought two tickets. I kept one, gave you one, and you won the lottery. Am I going to say, oh, why the hell didn't I keep that one or both of them? But it can make you happy when you improve the world. It's a gift for everyone. And then you can also ask, well, why didn't God make a perfect world? That I can tell you. Because as God said to me, Bernie, a perfect world is not creation. It's a magic trick. You're here to live and learn. So keep learning by what happens. And then you benefit. That you can see and know and teach other people about. So remember that. If, I don't know if you can call in or not, but if any of you ever have a question, don't be afraid to call in and give me a holler. Because, you know, talking and talking and talking, I mean, I'm not against talking. What what I mean is that it's hard to keep it up without getting somebody to feed you and help you, to nourish you, you know, to fill your tank, as I was saying before. So help people. Even if you have no reason, say to them, I love you. They give you a funny look, that's okay. And if they say, I love you, it feels good for two people. Love is a powerful weapon, is the word I use. I've stopped a lot of people from doing bad things by saying, I love you. And they knew I wasn't kidding. I loved them. I was trying to help them get through the pain they were experiencing, making them so angry about the world and life. And yeah, the old sentence, which I don't know who it came from, perfect world is not creation. It's a magic trick. We're all here to live and learn. I don't know who that came from. And there's a card on my desk I just opened up. Best wishes to you for a happy, and it's a holiday. And it could be anything, so I'm not going to say the holiday. It's just been sitting here for quite a while. Best wishes to you. Warm regards. Why don't you make up a list of people and send them all a card that says, best wishes, warm regards. As I said, I'm 91. And, you know, people sometimes say, you know, you email me or ask me how you doing. The fact that I got here at the 91, I think is pretty damn good. And the way I'm beginning to feel, I wouldn't mind making it to 100 or 101. You know, I'm sure there are things that'll come along and I'll say, why am I still here? But if you want to offer something to the world, you can stay here. And age is not an issue. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about why we call it a break when we come back.
Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love, heartwarming and heart-opening. These stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love Magic and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, MD. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of 5 children, and grandparent of 8, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love Magic and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love Magic and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, MD, is available on Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
I'm always so busy talking, I can't even remember what I was talking about when we quit. But I think it has something to do with numbers. But, you know, one other thing I think that's interesting, the number 8 symbolizes meaning, new meaning, change. And you'd say, why does number 8 mean that? Every religion has 7 days in the week, but has a different calendar in terms of days in a month. And you'd say, why did that come out? Well, 8 is a new beginning. So you have a 7-day week, and then we all start again, our new beginning. And Elizabeth Kubler Ross, one of her favorite saying was, Barney, that's her Swiss accent, there are no coincidences. Because the first time I met her and did a drawing at a workshop, and she knew I was in pain and trouble as a doctor because I cared about people and I couldn't save lives. And she came over to me to look at my drawing and she said, why is 7 important to you? She said that to me. I said, what are you talking about, 7? Where did that come in? He said, you drew 7 trees in the picture. And I said, well, what does that have to do with it? You know, and she made the point that 7 must have been important to me. And I can't remember what it was then, because it was years and years ago. But she kept going with numbers, and then why did I do something with a certain color? You know, that was the spiritual, the purple. And by the time she was finished telling me about this crazy outdoor scene I did that had no meaning at all for me, just something to fill in because she told everybody to draw a picture, I went back to the hospital with a box of crayons. And, of course, then everybody thinks you're crazy. You're a surgeon. What are you bringing in a box of crayons for? But when I showed them what it meant, see, we had the patients. We had their drawings, and they couldn't deny what was there in terms of numbers and colors and, you know, purple, especially the spiritual color relating to death for patients. And I helped a lot of people die and helped a lot of families learn about the fact that their loved ones were going to die when I talked to them about the drawings. They didn't get mad at me for discussing the fact that their loved one was going to die. They were able to accept it and settle down with it and, live with it. And I did a lot of drawings for myself where I would do a drawing and then come back and look at it so I learned what I was thinking about and what decisions I should be making. You know, and you can do it with your kids. And let me tell you, though, your own kids, don't let them know that you're interpreting drawings. Because we have 5 kids. And I'd walk around the house, you know, all their bedrooms and where they had crayons and papers, and I'd see they were doing a drawing, so I'd go over to look. And they learned that I was interpreting what they drew, because I had talked to them about what I saw, and I'm thinking of helping them. But they're thinking, I don't want him to know everything. I'm thinking. So I'd walk into their room, and they'd quickly flop forward on their desk on top of the drawing. And then I couldn't see it, and they wouldn't budge. But if they had a problem, Dad, can you help me make a decision? Can you help me this? Can you help me that? I said, all right, draw this. And they would, and then we'd sit down and go over it, and they'd see how it helped them. And then I became a therapist for them when they needed me to help them make a decision. See, I wasn't making the decision, but I was showing them what was in them and what would probably be best. You know, where should I go to college even? I'd say, draw all the schools you're applying to, and let's see which one looks the best. And that helped them, because I wasn't forcing them to do anything. I was asking them to help themselves know what's inside you. And that's part of what I started feeling when we were, you know, talking earlier this hour. What should I be doing? Should I be on the phone now? I think, truthfully, it helps me. It's like therapy to talk to myself. I'd probably be sleeping, napping, taking it easy. Because, as I say, at 91, the one thing that frustrates me is it's hard for me to have the energy I used to have. And I loved landscaping, painting, portraits, even touching up the house, doing all kinds of practical things. That's a part of me, you know, fixing things, whether it's shoveling snow or mowing the lawn or whatever. But now, either somebody yells at me and says, you can't do that, stop that, you're not going to. If they saw me behind the lawnmower, they'd really panic. But the lawnmower helps me stand up. You know, it's like walking with a walker. You got something in front of you to hold you. But they wouldn't want me to fall and chop off my arm or something. So there I am. But when I see things I'd like to change, like in our front yard, there's some branches that I'd love to cut. And I'll try to get them cut today. And I do hire a high school student as well as a regular landscaper. And the student comes over and does little things for me. But it's just that artistic part of me sees branches sticking up out of place, you know, taller than all of the others. And you want to go over and cut and put it back to where it fits. And then everything looks symmetrical and lovely. And, I mean, I learned that about myself because I was wondering why I want to rearrange things all the time. And then it suddenly occurred to me that you're used to things in a certain position and in a certain way. So if they're not that way, it's like the world doesn't look right to you and you have to walk over and put it where it belongs. And I'm learning to look at things and not have to put them where they belong, according to me. I'm not God. I'm not deciding. But it's stirring in me. There's a woman here who's my aide who takes good care of me. And I said to her, I want to walk around the house, see how things are. And she isn't ready to let me walk around the house because it's a lot of rough, sort of uneven territory. You know, it's not on the street, just paved. It's all dirt and little hills and rocks and things. And I just like to see. See, years ago, I'd walk around with the hedge clipper, and it could be automatic, electric, or just by hand, and walk around bushes and all kinds of things and clip, 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 clip. And then by the time I was done, I loved it. It looked nice. You could walk. And I don't know why that's a part of me, but it is. You know, I really wonder why that's in my brain, whether it's something in my parents that got into me and made me want to have things in the right place or not. And it's not about perfect. It's about looking right. So think about that, okay? How do you create a world that looks right?
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, MD. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
The Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What can you learn from exceptional patients? Plenty. No matter what disease you are dealing with, Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, Peace, Love, and Healing, can help you identify the hidden factors that may be stopping you from getting well. What are the hidden factors? Are you ready? Guilt and blame. Find out how guilt and blame is related to your lifestyle and illness. In Peace, Love, and Healing, Bernie, as he likes to be called, will tell you what steps you can take to heal a life and cure a disease. Peace, Love, and Healing. Get it today at fine bookstores or at Bernie's website, ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi again, everybody. One thing I keep thinking of, you know, when, because when we're off the air, I was just talking with the, you know, technician, so to speak, who runs the show and keeps it working, is I have an aide, caretaker, they're called angels, taking care of me. She's been here for I think a year now or two. I lose track of the time. But it really is good now, I believe, to have somebody like that, because if she doesn't like what I'm doing or how I'm behaving, she gives it to me. It's not just I have to be good to him and feel sorry for him. I mean, she tells me. And when I'm tired, complaining, you know, it's like, hey, stop blaming God. Stop complaining to God. Get up and get going. You know, God is your resource. And she turns me around so often that I really enjoy her therapy. Yeah, there are times I might not like what she said. or don't agree, but most, I'd say 99% of the time, what she sees me portraying, she'll say to me, you have a choice. Yeah? You can be happy. You can accept what's happening. You have a choice. And that's something I was always teaching people. Your attitude is up to you. You know, it's not God is deserting you, giving you up. It's God is presenting you with choices. And if you really had faith, it'd be a hell of a lot easier than it is right now for you to have faith. Yeah, I pause because let that sink in. Having faith, what does that mean? That you believe in something. You're not deserted. You're not alone. Yeah, troubles happen. But it could be, I don't know, was it my mother or who used to say it? God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. And I'd look at people and think, what are you talking about? Something good will come of this. You know, because when things really messed up and you didn't know what to do, something good will come of this. And surprisingly, it's amazing how many times it could happen. You know, I've told the story about the guy whose car broke down and everybody who pulled up to help him end up making the worst day in his life one of the best day in his life. New job, help with his car, everything. And they were all people who simply stopped to say, is there anything I can do to help you? And he was fired from a job that day, that's why. And was driving home, and then his car breaks down. And, you know, he's ready to commit suicide. And by the time everybody pulls up around him and starts saying, oh, I was looking for somebody who does that kind of work. He had a job, he had a garage that he was going to be taken to. Everything was solved. So, give God a chance. Faith. That's why I started this show with the surgery I'm going to have to help regulate my heart rate. And it's on my wedding anniversary day, 7/11. Now, my wife has died, for those who didn't know that, years ago. And it's part of why I'm having heart trouble. But all those things keep proving it to me. It's not a coincidence. And what really amazed me is how quickly my heart was in pain and having trouble when I found that my wife had died. It's amazing. You'd say, what's going on in your body? But if you think of the chemistry in your body, you know, blood vessels can constrict, and then my heart, you know, lost a loved one, and it's starving, and my heart is in pain, and it's being injured, and, you know, all these things, like the Monday morning syndrome, I'm always saying, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses on Monday morning. Why? How do you feel about your Mondays? If you said, today's a wonderful day, I'm going to get up and help the world, I'm going back to work today, fine. It will help you. But if, oh, God damn it, I have to go to work again. Yeah. But why not have a heart attack and go to the emergency room and then you don't have to go to work? It's not a wonderful solution, believe me. Do what makes you happy. But who chooses what makes you happy? That's the key. And I'm always telling the story for years of the guy who was ready to die, and he said to me, I'm going to go back to the mountains of Colorado. It's beautiful there, and I'll die there. I don't want to stay here in Connecticut. And I said to the family, call me for the funeral. I feel close to him, and I want to be there. And after a couple of years and no phone call, I mean, I couldn't believe that they really ignored me. So I called up, and he answered the phone. And I always hear his voice saying to me, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. And that's not the only story I'm often telling. There was a wealthy businessman who made everybody at his business wear a special outfit. You know, suits, and the ladies in dresses, certain ones. He had a dress code at his place of employment. And when I met him at some event, the way he was all dressed up, I said, why are you dressed like that? And it was just the opposite. He looked ridiculous, like a bum, introducing me at this high-class conference. He said, when you learn you have a short time to live, you cancel the dress code at work. And that's what he did. He learned he had cancer, went to work, his business, told all his employees, I don't care what you wear anymore. So I'm going to be dead in a short time. What the hell difference does it make for me and you? And so everybody began to come in dressed in sport clothes, all kinds of things they loved, including him. And that was something, I think, like 2 or 4 years before he was supposed to die. And I learned from him, too. Yeah. I canceled the dress code at work. So think about what's going on in your life. What would you like to cancel at your work, meaning your life? And how do you decide what you want to do? Again, as he said, you do what makes you happy. And it's a wonderful thing to teach your children. My three lessons that I keep mentioning over and over. Ma, I have to make a choice at school today. What should I do? Do what makes you happy. Ma, that's no help. You didn't tell me what's the best thing to do. I could explain to you what the choices are, and you could... Bernie, do what makes you happy. And then I used to walk away and try to figure out what made me happy, but I ultimately learned. And it worked a lot better than all the intellectual, you know, stuff, like what will make you... Yeah, I would guess Donald Trump's parents told him, what will make you more money? What will impress people more? And that's why he's a mess now. Here's my letter to the editor that my local newspaper just published. I started writing these when Donald showed up in politics. Letters to the editor. Say to Trump, I love you. Here's a way for people to manage dealing with Donald Trump. Donald did not grow up with love. He grew up with parents who wanted a rich and famous offspring of theirs and their family. Studies have revealed what we are now seeing. Grow up feeling unloved and you have a life filled with physical and emotional illness and problems. And those studies have been done with college students, you know, asking them, were you loved as a kid? and then looking them up decades later. And if they said I wasn't loved, the incidence of serious illness was way above those who said I was loved. My therapy letters years ago was to say to Donald, I love you, and totally confuse him and stop what he was doing for attention and so-called love. Love is a powerful treatment for everyone. I grew up with the message, do what makes you happy. Troubles are God's redirections, and something good will come of this. We are all here to help one another meet our needs. And the newspaper put it in. They're waking up, too. Because when Donald was first elected years ago, and I wrote letters to the editor, they weren't publishing anything. Now he was, you know, the president, an important place. But now that they've seen what's happened to him, the letters get published more often. And I'm not kidding. Children, this was done a study at Harvard. If they felt loved, the incidence rate was way below that of those who said, no, I didn't feel loved by my parents. So let them know you love them. That doesn't mean you like everything, or that everything that happens in their life is perfect, because besides doing what makes you happy, when I did have a horrible day at school, I was told, God is redirecting you, something good will come of this. Boy, it's hard to buy that. But then when you meet people, like the guy whose car breaks down, he's fired from his job, and all the people he meets that day because of those troubles, he's walking around with a smile at the end of the day saying, what a wonderful day. I got fired, met all these wonderful people, I have a new job, I got my car fixed. That's no coincidence. That also is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross with her Swedish accent, Bernie. There are no coincidences. And she was always telling me that. And I had, you know, I needed time to learn that she was right, too. So I'd say to all of you, remember, you know, God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. But you have to learn to have the courage and the strength to have it happen. And that's why I said the woman who's here taking care of me, making meals, doing things, Paula, she's always pointing those things out to me. You know, if I'm getting gloomy, not getting out of bed, whatever it is that she thinks I could be doing something better. Sitting out in the sunshine, all those things. Then give it a try. See what happens. Take a walk. Meet somebody. Call up somebody. Who knows what they need? If you help somebody else, you feel better. And then they begin to help you. And then I think there are also all the other kind of people. I mean, there are some people that send you emails like 3 pages long telling you about how to live and what to do and blah, 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 blah. I mean, they don't help me. They're just bombarding you with stuff. But when people are really believers, you know, have faith, then those are the ones who come through to you. And that's why I've had so many wonderful people in my life. You know, I have an angel named George. I've talked about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and other well-known people dealing with life and death issues and everything else. And I started attending their workshops to help them teach me what I could teach others. And believe me, it makes a difference. And you make a difference. And the other is, when you make a difference, it changes your chemistry. It's not all just stuff floating around in your head. When you change, your body gets the message. The hormones, the organs are affected. And as I say, well, I keep mentioning how when I found my wife, in seconds, the pain, it was incredible. And you think, why does your body, your heart act like that in that instant? But you've changed. You found your loved one is gone. And it changes you. So don't be afraid of the changes. Learn to adjust to them. Know that you're loved. Know you can continue to love others. And then it makes a difference to you. And you can say thank you to God for all that you've been given and shown. And I like saying thank you to people. And I mean that. In emails, I'm often sending that to our five children, that I love them and thank them for being my gifts, for being there and helping and sending me emails. You know, when I connect with them, it's the love again. Think about what just popped into my head, all my images. Watching your child being born. What a gift. As a doctor, I got into the delivery room. And what a gift to see a new life come forth. So, from this moment on, you're in labor pain, giving birth to yourself. And when you're enjoying it, it won't hurt very much, believe me. You're making those changes. What popped into my head last story was that lady who lay down naked in front of a mirror to show me her body deformities and how she was dying with them. And she didn't want to die not loving herself and her body. And why did she come to show me the photograph? She said, I didn't die. Everything got better. Loving herself made that difference. So here's your job till we speak again. Love yourself.